Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, today's sermon is part of a series, the purpose of which is for us to appreciate this gathering, the gathering of the believers during this special day, the day of Jumu'ah. Before we address the virtues of the place in which we gather, that is the masjid, and we address the virtues and the merits of this day, Friday. And today we will talk about the virtue of this special company in which we are. When we come to this gathering, when we come to the Salatul Jum'ah, we are with a special company. We are with our brothers and sisters for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a special relationship, a special bond about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed, Muslims are brothers, believers are brothers. And this is significant words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The brotherhood of Islam exceeds in many cases the blood relationship, because this relationship, the bond that is based on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what lasts. It is what remains, and it is the relationship from which the person can benefit in the hereafter. It's very important for us to really appreciate one another, to know the rights of one another, and to be sensitive to each other, so that we enjoy peace and harmony in our community. And one of those beautiful hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid out the rights that govern the relationship of the believers one to another is the following hadith, which was recorded by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يكذبه ولا يحقره. التقوى ها هنا وأشار إلى صدره صلى الله عليه وسلم. بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not envy one another. And we are not going to dwell on this, because I have addressed the issue of envy in one sermon. لا تحاسدوا, do not envy one another. ولا تناجشوا, do not inflate prices one to another. This is the unfair type of competition in buying something, when somebody increases the price not because he wants to buy the merchandise, rather because he wants to harm the person who is buying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this kind of dealing, because it generates animosity and hatred between the believers. وَلَا تَنَاجَشُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. And do not hate one another. Do not hate one another. How could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, command us something that has to do with our feeling? Some of us think that this is a matter of feeling and cannot control it, which is wrong, because there are means for love and there are means for hatred. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, do not hate one another, it means do not engage in means that may lead you in one way or another to hate one another. You see, you love someone, think about it. You love someone probably because of his beautiful manners, because of his generosity, because of his service to the community. There is something, there must be something that led you to love so and so. And similarly, there are reasons for hatred. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, do not hate one another, do not engage in what leads to this hatred and animosity between the believers. And وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, do not abandon one another. It is not permissible for a Muslim to abandon his Muslim brother. The maximum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for hard feeling is the period of 3 days, so people will cool down and the better of the two is the one who starts his brother by greeting him, assalamu alaykum. So otherwise it is prohibited. As a matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, abandoning a Muslim brother for a year is equivalent of shedding his blood. This is how bad it is to abandon a Muslim brother. And again, it's obvious why abandoning one another is prohibited, because it will cut off the community, it cut off the society. It is something contrary to unity, to brotherhood, and to the solid community that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to see or wants the Muslims to live. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضِ بَعْضٍ. And do not undercut one another. Do not sell something that another brother has bought already. Okay, do not. And this is a theme, because you cannot also propose for a woman for whom your brother has already proposed, or rent a place that your brother already has rented, and so on and so forth, because this time of dealing generate hatred and animosity between the believers, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. But be, O you servants of Allah, brothers. And again, Rasulullah would not have commanded us to be brothers if this is not possible, because commands are within the ability of the servants to fulfill. And therefore, when Rasulullah said, be brothers, it is possible for us to be brothers. And being brothers is by, again, following the means and the ways that can enhance our brotherhood and our community. Like being heedful toward the rights of one another as believers. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim is the brother of a Muslim, and Muslim akhul Muslim. A Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He neither oppresses him, nor does he fail him. He neither lies to him, nor does he belittle him. And we have specified a whole sermon to talk about the severity of belittling one another, and the severity of arrogance. So I'm not going to dwell on this much. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, reminding us of the place of the taqwa. He said, taqwa is right here. Taqwa is right here. And he pointed to his chest, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. The whole of a Muslim for another Muslim is prohibited. His blood, his property, and his honor. And here where I would like to focus. These three sanctities, the sanctity of the blood, the sanctity of the property, and the sanctity of the honor of the Muslims, are the sanctities or the foundations of any society or any community. And therefore, in order for us to achieve peace, harmony, and have a solid community, people need to be aware of this and be respectful and honor these three sanctities. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reiterated the importance of these sanctities in the great major gatherings that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. For example, in Khutbah al-Wada, before 124,000 of his companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a sermon reminding them of the sanctity and the sacredness of these three sanctities: the sanctity of the blood, the sanctity of the property and the sanctity of the honor. As a matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a comparison between the sacredness of these three sanctities and the sacredness of Mecca and the sacredness of the Shahr al-Haram and the day of An-Nahr, which is the greatest day in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Days and places the sacredness of which was well established in the hearts of people. So that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant to engrave this meaning and the respect and the honor for these three sanctities. The first sanctity is the sanctity of the blood. In Jerusalem, we Muslims believe that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us this life. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone who has the right to take this life away. It is not for anyone to take the life of anyone else or to endanger the life of another person in any way, shape or form by inflicting injuries or otherwise. It is therefore one of the gravest sin to kill someone is one of the gravest sin after committing shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever kills a believer on purpose, his recompense is the hellfire wherein he will stay forever. وغضب الله عليه, and he has earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولعنه, and Allah has cursed him and prepared for him an awesome punishment. Dear brothers and sisters, therefore, and based on this ayah, there are some scholars, they say that even the repentance of the killer is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a weak position, and I am citing this position so that you understand the severity of this this major sin. Otherwise, we believe that there is always a way open. There is always a room for someone to repent and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. And all of you know the story where Rasulullah mentioned about someone who killed some people and then repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted his repentance. Based on this ayah and other hadith like the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يزال المؤمن في فسحة من دينه حتى يصب ما لم يصب دما حراما, that the believer remains enjoying a vast room of forgiveness in his deen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he shed a blood that is prohibited. So this is to show how sanctified and how protected the blood of the believer. And of course, if you don't know these evidences and look at the condition of the Muslim, you may think that Islam encourage people to kill one another, because nowadays Muslims are killing one another and forgetting the prohibition and these evidences that show the absolute sanctity of the blood of the believer. Even the blood of a non-Muslim is prohibited in Islam. If someone gives a protection for a person and then kills her, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am bari, ana bari, I am bari, which means I disassociate myself, I completely clear myself, I have nothing to do with that person, even if the killed person is a non-Muslim. So those non-Muslims who come to the lands of Muslims by visas, these are contracts by virtue of which the government give protection for them. Their blood is prohibited, and this is why Muslims should honor these contracts. Please come forward and allow the Sandy brothers, inshallah, to sit down. The second sanctity is the sanctity of the property, and again, it is the right of every Muslim to feel secure concerning his wealth, his house, his land, his properties, his possessions, his commerce, and this is something guaranteed for every believer in the Muslim society. It is not for anyone to take anything that belongs to his Muslim brother, no matter how small it is, without his permission. No matter, even if it is a stick of arak. And one should not and cannot devour the wealth of his Muslim brother by means of cheating or stealing or forcing by means of force or by means of denying a debt that he owes for someone, or claim by means of claiming a wealth that does not belong to him. So it is prohibited for someone to earn, you see, a halal, a money that is not from halal source. In principle, dear brothers, we believe that this wealth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this wealth out of His bounty and as a trial for us to see how we deal with this wealth. So it is our obligation to seek this wealth from lawful means and enjoy it. Regarding being conscious of the right of Allah upon this wealth, if we are conscious concerning the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon our wealth, then we can enjoy it inshaAllah in a lawful manner. So it is, once the person lawfully acquired his wealth, it is not for anybody, okay, to take away anything, no matter how small it is, without the permission of his Muslim brother, without a permission that is given to him wholeheartedly. If you really want to embarrass someone or put him in a spot and take away something that rightly before belongs to him, this is also haram. This is also prohibited. Dear brothers and sisters, we are shedding light on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Kullu al-Muslimi 'ala al-Muslimi haram, damuhu wa maluhu wa 'irduhu." The whole of a Muslim for another Muslim is prohibited: his blood, his property, and his honor. The third sanctity is the sanctity of the honor. And again, every Muslim's honor is protected. So it's not for anybody to attack or violate the honor of his Muslim brother. It's not for anybody to impeach his Muslim brother, or to mar or to ruin the reputation or the dignity of the Muslim brother concerning his body, concerning his soul, concerning to his lineage or his chastity. It's not for anyone to attack the integrity and the honor of his Muslim brother. One way of violating this honor is by committing fornication. This is something that is prohibited. This is something that comes in third position after the prohibition of shirk and killing, and then comes zina, whether it is fornication or adultery. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, warning people that لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن, that a fornicator does not fornicate while he is a believer, rather the iman is lifted from him. So beware of dying upon something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. It is a major sin that extinguishes the light of iman from the heart of the believer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, describing the punishment of the fornicators in the grave by saying by reporting to us that Jibreel and Mikael came to him and they took him and they told him to go with him. فانطلق صلى الله عليه وسلم معهما فمروا على تنور أعلاه ضيق وأسفله واسع تشتعل فيه النيران. فنظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا التنور فرأى فيه رجالا ونساء عراة يصيحون من شدة لهب التنور. فإذا ارتفعت الناس النار ارتفعوا وإذا انخفضت انخفضوا في هذا التنور. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من هؤلاء يا جبريل؟ فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم هم الزناة والزواني هذا عذابهم إلى يوم القيامة. This is recorded by Imam Bukhari that Jibreel and Mikael took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they passed by an oven the top of which is tight and the bottom of which is fast, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he looked he saw men and women and he saw flames of fire that is raging, and the people raise when the flames of the fire raise and they go down when it goes down. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jibreel, who are these people? And he said that those are those who commit fornication. This is their punishment until the day of judgment. Why? Because this is an ugly crime that caused a major breakup in the family system in society and therefore it destroys the whole community. One way of violating the honor of a believer by falsely accusing him, especially if this relates to a matter of honor or chastity. And in this regard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْوَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَجِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Those who accuse the chaste believers of fornication without bringing four witnesses to testify that they have seen them committing fornication with them 80 times. This is their prescribed punishment. And وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا, and do not accept their testimony anymore. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, and these are the rebellious ones. So this is it is a great sin to accuse somebody, especially when it comes to honor and the dignity of the person. And therefore the punishment is great because it is not for anybody to do that. And one way of also to one form of attacking or violating the honor of the believers is by backbiting or slandering. Unfortunately, our gatherings nowadays is filled with this type of sin, and we have become so accustomed to doing that we don't feel it. We do it well and don't feel it because it's very easy for this time to move, and sometimes by one word we violate an honor of a Muslim or attack his dignity or accuse him of something haram. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said مَنْ قَالَ فِي مُؤْمِنٍ مَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ أَسْكَنَهُ اللَّهُ رَبْغَةَ الْخَبَالِ. Whoever attributes something wrong to a believer, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will force him to be in Radghatul Khabal, and Radghatul Khabal is the place where there are the youths, the dwellers of the hellfire, their pus, their blood, their filth, their sweat, and everything that is hateful to humans. So he will be forced to be there. Why? Because it's not for a person to backbite his Muslim brother and or to say something. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us an example to show how bad it is, this action. He said that أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. That does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Rather, you loathe it, you hate it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra لأقوام لهم أظافر من نحاس يخمشون وجوههم وصدورهم فقلت من هؤلاء يا جبريل؟ قال هؤلاء الذين يأكلون لحوم الناس ويقعون في أعراضهم. He passed by people who has long nails of Cooper, by which they scratch their faces and their chests. They are torturing their own selves as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who are these people? He said, those are the people who eat the flesh of the people and those who violate the honor of their Muslim brothers. Therefore, you see, what we say is something very serious, and we bear the consequences of what we say. And therefore we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that number one, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلِ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيبٌ. Whatever we say, there is a raqib atib, there is an observer who is ever ready to record whatever we say, no matter what, how small it is. And also number two, that فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whatever words, the equivalent of the smallest, the weight of the smallest ant of Eden, he will find it on the day of resurrection. So let's not belittle this easy movement of the tongue. We talk and talk and talk, forget about the responsibility and the ramifications of what we say. Finally, if we see the etiquettes of dealing with Muslims one another, we find that the manners of Islam is so noble, so great, because there are specific instructions for the believers when they come to masjid not to hold any sharp object that may harm their Muslim brothers. And the point is that it is prohibited upon a believer to hurt or harm his Muslim brother in any way and shape and form. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that it is prohibited upon the Muslim brother to scare his Muslim brother. This is why we really need to be selected in our practical roles, because sometimes we have those practical roles that can give a heart attack to a person. While it is haram to really scare someone, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا يحل لمسلم أن يرويع مسلما, that it is not permissible for a Muslim to scare his Muslim brother. And it is also not permissible for a Muslim brother to make his Muslim brother sad. And therefore he said, for example, لَا يَتَنَاجَسْ نَانِ دُونَ الثَّالِثِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُحْسِنُ. That if there are three who are having a conversation, let not two of them just stand away from the third one having a personal conversation, because this is going to make him sad. Okay, so this is something that is prohibited. Rather, if you have a conversation that does not concern the third person, instead of taking your brother away from him, you have to either let him share the conversation or take his permission. Otherwise, you are hurting your Muslim brother. The bottom line, dear brothers and sisters, is that it is not permissible for a Muslim to harm his Muslim brother in any way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَغِيرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. those who harm the believing men and believing women undeservedly, okay, has indeed taken the burden of the guilt of slander on themselves and committed a clear and a plain error. So therefore we need to be really conscious, and again I say this because we gather every week, and in order for this gathering to be harmonious gathering and a gathering in peace, we need to really appreciate the value of one another and respect one another. And it is very important for us to be aware of the rights that we have over one another. So therefore, as I said, that we addressed the virtues of the place in which we gather, that is the virtues of the masjid, and we addressed the virtues of the time in which we gather, that is the virtues of Friday. This is a very special occasion, and today we address the special company that we have. It is special company of the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we are brothers. We are brothers. This is very significant. And He said that so that we show compassion, kindness, and deal with one another based on this principle that we are brothers.